to the booth. It's our fantasy show, week 14. Harrison, we got a game this week, baby. I'm fresh out of practice. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, look.
You still practicing?
I be so bored. Yeah, we just postseason tournaments, man. We got to put out the playoffs. You wait a couple weeks then. You know, a couple guys have postseason tournaments, man. You got coaches who, coaches can't live without events, man. You know what I'm saying? So they enter the team in postseason tournaments. We live this week, man. I be feeling like it's a real event going on, though. Like, my son got a game. I be looking forward to that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. Like, that's.
I need that. I
It's interesting because now, like, a lot of people who are listening, they're looking forward to this weekend too, because there's certain people who just don't have their fantasy team playing no more, and it hurts when you're in that position. But for the people who are listening, if you're not in your season long league anymore, at least you still got DFS. You at least make some money there.
Right. You can still play around.
Indeed,
with it,
indeed.
You still can play.
So you have your son's games that you're going to this weekend, this tournament that you referenced. Yep. Outside, that leads me to a question. What is the favorite sporting event that you've been to? Obviously, you've played in a number of sporting events, but what's your favorite game that you went to?
As a fan,
yeah.
Oh, that's tough. You know what? I know what it is, though. Maybe like fourth grade, maybe like fifth grade, right?
Okay.
We in Trenton, New Jersey. ECW, you remember that wrestling?
Oh, yeah. I remember ECW.
ECW came to the, they came wherever it was, a little small arena there. I'm saying that's kind of when they was first starting. Bro, when I tell you, that was the livest shit we ever seen. Because they was like hitting with chairs. We felt like it was real blood, jumping off tables, cages and shit, right?
Oh, yeah, they started the hardcore matches. They were the ones doing the ladder matches.
Yeah, they started all that hard, man. And we didn't really know what it was. My dad was just like, man, I'm going to take y'all to this little wrestling deal. They got like, you know, it's like minor league wrestling. He kind of pubbing it up for us. Like, it ain't WWF, but it's ECW.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But next thing you know, ECW was hard, though. We went right then. We seen it. Next thing you know, it got more popular. Like, 4 years later, it was super popular, man. So, definitely was that ECW. That was the most entertaining shit.
For sure.
Ken
Shamrock was there. Chris Jericho started there. Just Incredible, which is one of the best wrestling names of all time.
Right.
I think Diamond Dallas Page might have had a time over there as well.
A lot of people.
Bam Bam Bigelow might have been over there, maybe.
Captain Jack, was he over there for a minute?
Oh, Mankind, whatever his name was.
Did he start over there?
I think
there?
He might have started.
Like, I remember him being over there.
Yeah, I think he might have been over there, too. There was a lot of dudes that came through ECW. Man. Okay.
That was like the minor league. That was like the minor league wrestling.
Dog, I didn't know you was a wrestling fan. I can go on for days. All right, hold on.
Oh, bro, I fuck with wrestling now. You know what I'm saying? I was hot when I found out it wasn't real. Oh, man.
Oh, I was heated.
I'm arguing, bro. I'm arguing people down, bro. It's real, fam.
All right, bro.
I love wrestling.
Before we get to No Fly Zone, A-plus matchups, DFS, and the look at wide receivers in the league, I'm sorry. We got to do one more thing just with this wrestling stuff. Best finishing move of all time.
Sharpshooter. Sharpshooter, boy. Hey. I like how he put you in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yo, it was
do the spin move and high. Curl your ass up, boy. I do that to my kids all the time. Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter was tough. I have to say, he wasn't my favorite wrestler, but the Stone Cold Stunner was damn cold, man.
Oh yeah, Stunner was hard. The Stunner was hard.
And the Razor's Edge was pretty cool too with Razor Ramon.
Razor's Edge was hard. See, I like the little leg lashes. I like the figure four.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I like Ric Flair.
Yeah, yeah.
Because them really, if you do them on somebody, like, I could put somebody in the finger four right now. They can't get out, and they're going to tap out,
yep.
bro.
Yep.
They're going to, like, it's real. You know what I'm saying? I like them leg lashes.
I'm sorry for people who came here for football. We got to keep going. The torture.
My bad.
The torture rack.
Oh, the torture rack. Lex Luger, baby. Hey, the torture rack.
Torture rack was tough. All right,
and then he just throw you off. Get off me, boy. Yeah, I love wrestling, bro.
Remind me off camera. I'm gonna tell you my Razor Ramon story. It's pretty funny. There's not enough time in this podcast for that.
All right, it'll turn to a wrestling podcast
for sure. All right, Let's go into the no-fly zone for week number 14. Roll the bomb. Boom, 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 boom. Starting at the top spot, and there's a new number one, back at number one, the L.A. Rams. At number two, the New Orleans Saints. Number three, Pittsburgh Steelers. And we talked about them last week, made a case for why they aren't in the top five. Well, they're now in the top five, the Miami Dolphins. And at number five, knocking out the Washington football team, who did, I think, at least, I'm not the expert, I thought they did a solid job against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They did.
But not enough to hold out the New England Patriots from getting the number five spot. So
they did.
I have a number of questions about that. First of all, I guess since we just had Ryan Shazier on, what were your impressions of the Washington football team's secondary, and what was it about what the Patriots did that made you put them over them?
Oh, I say Washington, they did. They played a solid game, man. They played a game good enough to win, you know what I'm saying? They gave up stuff early. They held it down late, you know what I'm saying? Got a fourth quarter turnover off the tip. But at the end of the day, man, you look at the numbers. Ben had 302 tubs. So, I mean, they couldn't run the ball at all, for real. They threw the ball all over the place all day, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, if you throw that many passes, 300, not that bad. But, man, the stats say 300 in a tub. They ain't dropped far. They was in fifth. They in sixth now. You know what I'm saying? Just step back a spot because the Patriots, they gave a donut, man. You give a donut like that, man. If you dominated. That's really, in the week before that, this was played a major part, too. The week before that, they held Kyler Murray to like 170. You know what I'm saying? They got a pick. You know what I'm saying? So they put two back-to-back weeks together, man, and some great football. They held their opponent to 0 points. Then they got 14 picks. They up there, man. They got 14 picks on the season. They catching fire a little bit, man. They got J.C. Jackson out there, 7 picks. He going ham. Shout out to J.C. Jackson. He's going nuts this year, him and Xavier Howard. But, man, he got another pick. He on the board, man. So, had to show the Patriots some love. Washington ain't dropped far, though. They right there. They 6.
It's interesting. At one point, we thought Stephon Gilmore might be traded. At one point, we thought the Patriots might be the worst team in the AFC East. All of a sudden, they are very much in play for a playoff spot. Obviously, Stephon Gilmore is still there. They have a big-time matchup on Thursday night, which is tonight, for people who are listening at least, against the Los Angeles Rams. A big opportunity, and we know what Bill Belichick does to rookie quarterbacks. He shut them down. But I have a funny feeling Justin Herbert might go off in Week 14. We'll talk about that in the DFS segment. Real quick, before we go to our A-plus matchups, Miami Dolphins back in. Last week you said they weren't going to make it unless Byron Jones got busy. I don't think he got a pick, but they still made it in. Explain, please.
He didn't. I mean, that's really three solid. After two solid weeks, we had the Dolphins fans on the page, right? So then they come back, they go ham again. That's really three solid weeks in a row, man, that the Dolphins done put together, man. And they got 13 picks on the season, too. Xavier Howard going crazy, 8 picks, man. He got another one in the slot, out and up. He done fell over the top, found the ball so nice, man. Bruh, Xavier Howard doing some things. He got ball skills like no other, bro. It's like it's Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters type ball skills. Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't too many people in that class, you know what I'm saying, with them great ball skills like that. Xavier Howard, man, he got something going, man. So Miami crawled up in there 3 solid weeks in a row. Man, we still working on that pass defense. It's in the middle of the pack still. But man, the picks is there. The wins is there. The points per game is there, you know what I'm saying? So welcome, Miami.
Welcome. Well, hold on, Akeem.
Byron Jones, come on, man. Come on, man. Come
well,
on.
Well, Akeem.
I know we say it was waiting on Byron Jones, but Xavier Howard, he getting enough picks for both of them, man. So they here.
Okay, that's a perfect segue because it could be grand opening, grand closing. Because I want to go to the A-plus matchups. Before I do that, the rule, please.
You got to follow.
You know what time it is. Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs will be going against the Miami Dolphins, number three on this, number four on the no-fly zone list. So as I said, it could be grand opening, it could be grand closing. How does Xavier Howard versus Tyreek Hill look to you in Week 14?
I think he'd do okay. I think that staff, that defensive staff in Miami, they come up with a plan to take Tyreek away, man. They playing real football. They not here to lose no games. They got to, you know what I'm saying? This December. These last four games is going to be crucial for Miami. So, I mean, I think they're going to come up with one of their better game plans, man, and try to make somebody else beat them. So, it's definitely got to be a Watkins or what's my dog name? 17. I always forget all these young wideouts' names, man.
Mecole Hardman,
the young bull. It's got to be one of them to beat them, man, because Flo come from that Bill Belichick tree. And Tyreek, he ain't get too busy last week, about 50 in the tub or something like that. But, man, he been going crazy the last couple weeks. You got to take him away, man. So I like Xavier Howard to be cool. I like them to come up with a plan and take him away. Maybe a little help over the top. Xavier Howard playing hard. So they're going to make somebody else beat him.
So that seems like that somebody else would be Travis Kelce.
Kelce probably definitely going to be involved in that. Hardman probably going to be involved in that with them deep balls.
Real quick, answer this because I want to get to that next matchup. Are the Miami Dolphins doing their best job to get into the playoffs by playing Tua Tagovailoa instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think they are. I think they are, man. The vibe is good there. He's not bad. He's not a bad quarterback. He a winner. He done won all his life, so, and he been winning since he been in there. So they made the right move. I think they made it at the right time, too. You don't want to make it when it's like he got to come in and save the day. You want to make it like, you know what I'm saying, it's comfortable for him. The defense playing good. We running the ball good. Let's get him in here now. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was a smart decision by them.
Last episode, we talked about the get back opportunity after getting shown up in a big-time game to come back and have a standout matchup. The Tampa Bay Bucks, particularly Carlton Davis III, was smoked by Tyreek Hill. He's got a chance for some get back this week. We think the shadow matchup would come with Justin Jefferson since majority of the time he's on the outside. Two great young players. How does this matchup turn out?
I think he shake back, man. Jefferson, a hell of a player. But how the offense is set up, I think if Carlton Davis follow Jefferson, I think Cousins just going to like Thielen. He going to like the matchup with Thielen. So he going to throw the ball over there, man. Justin Jefferson, he catch a few passes. I don't like him to get in the zone. I like Carlton Davis to bounce back off the bye week. Long time to think about it. Long time to watch him and study him. I like him to come out and play ball.
And finally, before we go to break here, DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals need a win now. Going against James Bradbury. Now, James Bradbury actually played the Giants as a whole. Played very well against the Seattle Seahawks on the road. What happens with DeAndre Hopkins this week coming off a loss to the LA Rams?
Man, I think Hopkins and Murray might do a better job against that zone coverage. It was a bunch of zone coverage. The Giants played a bunch of zone coverage, bunch of cover two. You know what I'm saying? They switched it up, played some man on third down, things like that. But I think if they play all that cover two, I think Kyler Murray, he going to be better at dissecting that zone. That style of offense, all the receivers, the spread style of offense, it's going to be a little better. It's going to be a little easier to dissect that cover two with that spread, man. So I like Hop to have a bunch of catches, man. I like him to have a bunch of catches. Maybe get in the zone. Even if he don't get in the zone, I like them yards to be up because, you know, Bradbury, he follow guys, but they play a lot of zone with it, man. So guys could, you know, he run a dig or something, Bradbury might not be on him no more. You know what I'm saying? And they do such a good job against zone coverage, man. Hop just got a great feel for it, finding holes, sitting down. Him and Kyler Murray be on the same page when it come to that. So I like Hop to do his thing.
I encourage our audience to make sure sometimes you should take some notes. I've been listening very keenly to what Akeem has been saying over the course of the year. And I must say, it's been quite profitable when it comes to DFS. If I were you and I was listening, I'd play Travis Kelce in tournament fields because we feel like Tyreek Hill might have a tough matchup with Xavier Howard. Same thing, I would avoid Justin Jefferson, who's priced similarly to Adam Thielen. These are things that one would take notice of. And with that being said, we'll be right back because we're going to do DFS in our next segment. Call to the booth. Stick with us.
Football is back. So you know what that means, man. We like to put on our favorite jersey, get some beer, get some chips, and lock in on Sundays. So don't forget to lock in with Manscaped, though, man, below the belt. We got to lock in and make sure we nice and neat below the belt so our wives and our girlfriends don't have nothing to say at night after the games, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you spend all day on the couch watching the game, and then you try to get romantic, and but you didn't do the part that you should have done before that. You didn't treat your halftime correctly when you should have been taking care of yourself. You alluded to it as the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, and they got everything you need. First of all, you know, Akeem, when we were younger, we didn't have the technology that they have now where you could actually have the Lawnmower 3.0. It's a skin-safe technology. It's waterproof, it's cordless, you can bring it in the shower, get all the spots that you really need to get. They also have the Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant, so you can stop from the chafing, especially if you're not wearing appropriate boxers. Fellas, wear good boxers. And then also you have the Crop Reviver as well. So you have the Perfect Package 3.0, all these things that you need to make sure that you're on top of your game when the games are over.
Definitely, man. Manscaped.com got us covered, guys. I can remember, you know, just going into the shower and grabbing whatever razor, doing what I got to do, hopping out the shower, dumping baby powder down there. But, I mean, we don't have to go through that kind of stuff no more, guys. We got manscaped.com. Use the promo code NoFlyZone. You get 20% off and you get free shipping. That's on anything you need. You get you a trimmer. You get you a little deodorant, man. I say you good to go with them two things right there, man. So NoFlyZone is the promo code. 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com, man. They got us covered.
Your balls will thank you.
Yes, sir.
Back before a call to the booth. Akeem Tlaib. I'm Harrison Sanford. It's DFS time. Week 14. Time's drilling down. Time to cash out. We're going to go over some locks that we have for this week, and then Akeem will break down some key and important plays. Let me go down the key things that we like so far, things that you could pretty much lock in. James Robinson. At running back on DraftKings, $7,500. He gets a number of targets. It never stops, regardless of game script. He's like a top five rated running back this season. I know it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, but trust me, James Robinson, and trust us, James Robinson goes in. $7,500 looks like a good price. David Montgomery at $6,500 against the Houston Texans, one of the worst rush defenses in the league. A lot of people might not like David Montgomery, but the opportunity is just too plentiful. And we saw what he did last week. When he gets the opportunity against a bad defense, he has a chance to go off. He did it against the Packers. He did it against the Lions. He might just do it again against the Houston Texans. At wide receiver, $5,200, Curtis Samuel. We might not be seeing DJ Moore this week. Obviously, Robbie Anderson could be a play as well. Curtis Samuel's is the cheaper of the two. We don't know if we're going to see Christian McCaffrey. More than likely, we don't. Target's got to go somewhere. How about Curtis Samuel, the cheapest target, cheapest playmaker on that Carolina Panthers offense? At the flex position, $5,000, Giovanni Bernard. No Joe Mixon. Dallas Cowboys defense, need to be saying more? No. At defense, $2,900, Carolina Panthers. We know Akeem has some ties to the Denver Broncos, but it's just not happening this year. At that price, $2,900. It's very good. You have to take advantage of it. If you can play a defense under $3,000, who you know is going to perform well, you got to do it. So that's what we have so far locked up.
Got to do it.
We got to fill some more spots here. And let's start with the quarterback position. Akeem, there are so many good options between a quarterback and a wide receiver. Let me go over some of them that we have. Ryan Tannehill and the going against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you could pair him with A.J. Brown. You got Matt Ryan, you could pair him with Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones going against the Chargers. You have DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson. You could pair them going against the Jets. You have Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert. You could pair them going against the Atlanta Falcons. That's just some of the options. Oh, how could I forget? You have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams going against the going against the Detroit Lions. There are so many good options between a quarterback and a wide receiver. Which one do you like the most?
It is. It's a bunch of good options, but looking at them, I like to play against that Atlanta. I like to go against the Jets, and I like to go against Atlanta secondaries when I do a quarterback-receiver matchup. You know what I'm saying? So let's go against Atlanta this week, and let's ride with Herbert, and let's ride with Keenan Allen at that wideout, man. That's a good little tandem for us going against a bad passing D. Them guys should get active, man. Both of them guys. Move on to that next wide receiver spot. We got Samuel. We got Keenan Allen. Let's see. What if we go T.Y. Hilton? T.Y. Hilton got the hot hand right now out in Indy. So let's ride with T.Y. and fill our wideouts up, man. See what we got left. 3,300 for our tight end. We look like down there,
Paul. For the people who are listening, let me go through some of the options at tight end. Logan Thomas coming off a great performance against
the I like that pick. 33. Right there too. I like that first name. Yeah, 30, but go ahead.
3,300. Tyler Eifert, 3,100. Has been in and out. Hasn't really been too effective. Mike Lennon at quarterback. Who knows what the deal is? Irv Smith Jr. We don't know if he's gonna play. We don't know if Rudolph is gonna play for the Vikings. Don't really know. If you could trust it, Trey Burton has been off and on all year for the Colts against the Raiders. You got Jordan Akins at 2,900 with Deshaun Watson. You got Cole Kmet, who's kind of been taking away opportunities from Jimmy Graham in Chicago. Those are some of the options we have there with $3,300 left.
I really want to get Logan Thomas in there for that $3,300.
You got $3,300 to spend.
But I know it. But I'm looking at Atkins against Chicago. Chicago gave up a bunch of touchdowns to tight ends this year. They playing terrible against tight ends this year. So I'm back and forth. Logan Thomas or Big Atkins. Who you like, Harrison?
The statistics say that
go Atkins
because of I believe it's the Bears have given up 9 touchdowns to tight ends this season. Seems like a pretty juicy stat to me. Now at the same time, we've also had the Bears in that no-fly zone at different times this season. So I'm always like,
They don't got a bad defense, man. They've been off and on.
But then
Logan Thomas is catching that hot hand, man. With Alex Smith, he really catching that hot hand. Alex Smith learning to love him. Every game he getting more targets.
Hey, it's not my decision to make, bro. So
man, let's go Logan Thomas, man. Something telling me put Logan Thomas in there. Alex Smith, he like what he like. So if he like you, he gonna throw you the rock, man, a lot. And Logan Thomas been balling for him. So let's get Logan Thomas in there, man. Let's put him in there. So we started from the top. We got Herbert against Atlanta. Pat match him with Keenan Allen, man. We like them against that passing defense, man. Our running backs, Robinson and Montgomery, both of those guys get a bunch of touches. So you almost can't go wrong with those guys putting them in there because they're gonna catch passes. Everything almost go through them with the offense, man. So our second receiver, T.Y. Hilton, he got the hot hand for the last few weeks. I think he'll keep that hot hand. Phillip is learning to love T.Y. And then we're going to go Curtis Samuel. DJ Moore probably not going to be in there. We'll ride with Curtis Samuel. Logan Thomas, he catching a hot hand. He's starting to be one of Alex Smith's favorite guys. Giovanni Bernard playing against the Cowboys, run D. And the Panthers, man, that Panthers defense not bad. They're going against a suspect young offense. And for that price, can't go wrong.
Indeed. I love how that's set up. When you look at all those quarterback and wide receiver opportunities, I think that's going to be a big point of contention for a lot of people playing DFS this weekend. But if you think about it, all those other teams are really in blowout spots. So you don't know how hard they're going to have to play until the end of the game.
Right.
Packers might blow out the Lions. Titans might blow out the Jaguars. We don't know if the Vikings can make it a game against the Tampa Bay Bucks coming off a bye, but we do know the Falcons matchup and Chargers matchup. I don't know what the over-under is, but it seemed like it's going to be over 55, over 57. On that one. Hopefully you win out. We'll be right back with more Call to the Booth. That's our lineup for week number 14.
This is Jared Goff, and you're listening to Call to the Booth.
We're back with more Call to the Booth. Almost time for us to go home, but before we do that, we got game picks, big-time games on national TV, big-time matchup in the AFC North. Cleveland Browns, 1-point underdogs against the Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland is home at First Energy Stadium. Dope that I still kind of remember that name. Good fans out there. 46 and a half over under. These Cleveland Brown fans, they actually got something to cheer about this year, Keeb.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I'm happy for them.
It's live out in Cleveland.
You know, they're living out there. Will they be happy come Tuesday morning?
Home underdogs. Ooh, I love home underdogs. But, hey, during the break, Paul said the Ravens, so we ride with the Ravens. We ride with the Ravens, man, and we ride with the over. They're going to go over there. It's going to be 28. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be up there. They're going to score some points. 28 to 25 or something. They're gonna be up there, man. We're gonna play some ball.
What confidence? We've rated the Ravens defense high all year. Where is the sense of confidence mm-hmm. that the Browns should have in the offensive attack? Where can they attack? Like, is Nick Chubb gonna be highly successful against this Ravens defense?
Yeah,
like,
I think at this point, man, the Browns do what they do. They get a ball to Chubb. They, you know what I'm saying, throw the ball to Landry. They're going to run their offense, man. So it's going to be big on big. They got a great O-line. Ravens got a great D-line. They got some guys back. Big Williams, big Calais back in there. It's going to be big on big, man. So we got to see. Got to watch and see.
Some of the games.
I'm going to ride with the Ravens.
Some of the games on Sunday are just underwhelming. Titans against the Jaguars. Packers against the Lions. The Jets against the Seahawks. I mean, those are just underwhelming games. But these primetime games we have are really worth all the popcorn. We talked about Monday Night Football.
Right.
Sunday Night Football.
Some big games.
Just as good. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. Pittsburgh is 2.5-point underdogs. 46.5 is the over-under. I know we discussed it with Ryan Shazier earlier this week. But just give me your updated thoughts on this matchup and what you think might happen.
Hold on, tell me the over-under one more time.
46.5, Pittsburgh 2.5 points underdogs.
And they in Pittsburgh, right?
They're in Buffalo.
Are they in Buffalo? Buffalo, ain't no fans. I often say Buffalo a tough place to play, but it won't be that tough with no fans, right?
It's a whole different year, you know, brother. Sam? It's a whole different year.
Yeah, it is. I'ma still ride with Pittsburgh. I'ma still ride. Yeah, see, They the same kind of team. They both want to play in the cold. They both good. You know what I'm saying? They both cool with that atmosphere. But I don't like Pittsburgh dropping two in a row. And then Buffalo, man, they've been beating winning a big game, then kind of digressing a little bit, man. So, you know, they just won a big game. Who they just beat?
San Fran.
That was a crucial game for them. I mean, San Fran ain't that good, but San Fran was playing. San Fran trying to get in the tournament, so they definitely got a good shot. So I'm riding with Pittsburgh, man. I'm riding with Pittsburgh on the road, and I'm riding with the over.
Okay. There's a good chance that Pittsburgh can win that game. As we've discussed all year, Buffalo has a very good secondary. The rush defense really hasn't been at that level of the secondary. And James Conner, mm-hmm. I believe on Wednesday, was activated from the COVID list so they can get their running back back. They've been using Benny Snell and a bunch of other guys, and it feels like Big Ben has just been passing a lot over, and the right. offense really hasn't had the balance. But we have enjoyed right. watching people catch the ball all season long. Stephon Diggs has been one of the best wide receivers this year. In fact, mm-hmm. if you look at the wide receivers in over the league, DK Metcalf, of course, at number one, and I want to talk about him at a bit, with just 5 more yards, actually, than Travis Kelce on the year. 1,100.
Kelce up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Kelce's up there. 1,119. Travis Kelce has the second most receiving yards in the league. Doesn't matter position. Second most. Then Tyreek right. Hill. Then Justin Jefferson, who's been balling. And then right behind him, only 2 yards behind him, is Stephon Diggs. And you have DeAndre Hopkins right behind them. Who do you think finishes with the most receiving yards this year? Right now, again, DK Metcalf.
Oh.
Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and then Travis Kelce's in that mix as well.
Ooh. Dolphins, Saints, Falcons, Chargers. I'm going to go with a Chief. It's going to be a Chief. It might be a tight end. Would that be like the first time ever? I bet like Tony Gonzalez or somebody probably did that shit. You know what I'm saying? There you go, Paul. Look. I hear Paul in the background. I hear Paul in the background finding it. But I'm going to go with Kelce, man. I'm going to go with Kelce because I think teams is finna, you know, Tyreek, he had that 3-4 game explosion. So now he going to be the focal point, man. Teams going to start trying to take him away. And I think that's when, you know, you can't take both of those guys away. So I think for the last 4 games, Kelce going to do his numbers. Lead the league in receiving. Going into the playoffs, they're going to try to take Kelce away. Tyreek going to start exploding again. So,
hey,
I'm going to go with Kelce. It's going to be, I don't know when the last time it was. Paul looking for us right now.
You can tell. But I'm gonna go tell with Kelce, man. You can tell he's on the search too, because that's not readily available. You know, it's an anomaly. Yeah,
that's a real search, right?
But overall, I as the league has turned here, you know, it's interesting, Akib, because I remember when I was younger and started watching football, it was always this stereotype that younger receivers always took a year or two to really evolve.
Right.
That was just always a theme.
Shit changing now, Harris. Hey, like we always talk about, like, the NFL is in good hands with these quarterbacks, right? With the Mahomes being the leader of the young guys, man. Josh Allen's, the Herberts, you know what I'm saying? And so on, right? And the Lamars, the Kyler Murray. We always talk about the NFL being in good hands, but with these wideouts, though, Harrison, listen to these wideouts, man. Our leaders, look, the leaders, the OGs of the young wideouts, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, and Courtland Sutton. I'm putting Courtland Sutton up there because he's one of the top three jump ball guys in the league, man. The boy got real Moss game. Look, year two receivers, Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DK, AJ Brown. Like, come on, bro. Look, the rookies, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, look, Claypool, Henry Ruggs, Judy, man.
Gabriel Davis.
Ayuk, Higgins. Look, Gabriel Davis. It's the young wideouts, man. We cool. We the NFL is in good hands with these young wideouts. These guys is going to be the stars. They're going to be the AJ Greens, the Julios, man. This year one, these guys who are in year one, year two, year three, we in great hands with these guys, man. They almost the top wideouts right now. Like, you know, you look at the DKs, the AJs, the Deebo Samuels, the Justin Jeffersons, man. Them top guys right now, you know what I'm saying? And they babies, man. So, man, I'm excited about the new quarterbacks. I'm excited about the new receivers. I'm excited about what the NFL is as a whole, man, especially with those two positions, for real.
You know what that means? You know what that means, Akib? With all of these, first of all, that means you might have got out at a good time, number one. Number two, that also means that the NFL is going to be looking for two things. And I think they're always looking for them.
That's how it go.
Elite pass rushers.
And
hurry up those quarterbacks and elite shutdown corners.
Telling you, that's premium. How I go, man. That's how I go. A cream of the crop receiver group come. Next thing you know, a cream of the crop DB group follow them. You know what I'm saying? So it's football, man. It's the same. It's over and over and over again.
It's going to seem as, and for whatever reason, and obviously when you look at the running back situation in the league, there's always like a contract dispute. Once that rookie deal is over, it's always a big deal if they get that next deal, that actual big money deal. It looks like a lot of these guys are going to be, they're going to be messing up your cap real quick and soon. And once they get off these rookie deals, if they keep
all these boys getting paid, all these boys about to get paid, man. All the young boys.
Good for them. I think we've asked something from Paul that should have been asked.
I got,
like 24
I got
hours beforehand.
No,
oh, you got it?
I cannot find a tight end that led. Look, the receiving yards in the
because you're probably searching for something that's not there, Paul. Probably never happened.
That's
you said.
That's
you
what
said
I'm going
to,
with.
It might have never happened.
Neverland. You said to Neverland.
Kelce going. He going to be the trendsetter, man. Kelce.
Watch here we go. I like that. He's only 5 yards behind DK. And speaking of which, before we go here, before DK Metcalf played in his last five games, you had a claim. Remember, we were talking about fantasy football. We were talking about the trade deadline. And we said, look at DK Metcalf's next five matchups and what might happen. Do you think about trading him? Is Tyler Lockett going to benefit from some of the shadow coverage? Last 5 weeks, he had Trey White, Jalen Ramsey, Pat Peterson, Darius Slay, James Bradbury. You said he finished with five touchdowns or TUDs. I really got to know where the word TUD comes from. And
I say
430.
I say Tub with a B. I don't know why. Yeah, I say Tub with a B. Yeah.
Where's Tub come from?
Who knows? I don't know. It's just what I say. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not. We'll talk about that in another show. 439 yards, only two touchdowns for DK Metcalf in those last five games with, for the most part, shadow coverage from some of the best DBs in football. Before we go, just explain yourself. And however you want, I'm mad I didn't make any bet or anything
yards,
like that. But
The yards is appropriate. He got 500 yards, 450 or whatever he got, right? The yards
439.
Look, he got two touchdowns. He dropped about four or five of them, man. So it ain't the DBs, it's the drops. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, if he caught the balls that he was supposed to catch, he would have had five or six, like I said. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, catch the rock, DK. They can't stop you, baby. As long as you catch the rock, it's over with, man. So, that's it. He killed. If he would have caught all his balls, all his easy balls, he would have killed everybody.
Over under, before we get out of here, for those who are placing prop bets, over under for DK Metcalf this week against the New York Jets. And we know how the New York Jets secondary gets down. 125 yards.
Over. Over 125, and he going to have a touchdown.
Only one.
Seattle hot. Seattle mad. They in the lab right now. They got to get back to it.
There we go. I think that's pretty much it. I kind of like how you rhymed how we got out of here last time. So maybe we'll make that a thing. That's all for me. What you got to say?
Hey, subscribe, rate, and review. Call to the booth.
Oh, we ain't rhyming this time.
Man, it's a whole different day. That was a rhyming type of vibe. This is a low key. You know, it's a Friday fantasy. We working our brains. We thinking this shit today, man. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no time to rhyme.
All right, we out.